Welcome all to the 2025 Month 6 Investable ETR briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of June to the 30th of June 2025. Hopefully, you'll find it interesting as we look closer at what's happening within the Credet Group. Firstly, George will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. Next, Stephen will be discussing trade finance transactions during the month of June and will give a refresh on the core principles Credet was built on. We will also be looking at segments on our monthly reports and updates on the European and global economies. Then we'll look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it with some updates on Credet. So for our first topic, I'll hand you over to George, who's a member of our deal desk.
Thank you, Maria. I hope everybody is enjoying their afternoon. The deal desk is dedicated to keeping our momentum going into quarter three, 2025 and beyond. We are in discussions with a mining company based in Zimbabwe. They are involved in selling chrome that is mined in Zimbabwe and then sold to an off-taker based in South Africa. The mining industry is very interesting to us, and we feel there are numerous opportunities for us in this field. In recent years, Zimbabwe has emerged as a significant player in the mining of chrome, with a thriving trade industry that exports vast quantities of this valuable mineral to buyers in South Africa. Chrome mining in Zimbabwe involves the extraction of chromite ore from underground mines or open pits. This ore is then processed to produce ferrochrome. This is a crucial alloy used in the production of stainless steel. The mining process requires sophisticated machinery and skilled labor to ensure the efficient extraction of chrome ore from the earth. The exportation of chrome to South Africa has proven to be a lucrative venture for Zimbabwean miners, providing a steady source of income and foreign exchange earnings for the country. However, the industry is not without its challenges, including fluctuating prices, regulatory hurdles, and competition from other chrome producing countries. Furthermore, the revenue generated from chrome exports has contributed to the country's economic growth and development. The income has been used to invest in critical sectors such as healthcare, education, and infrastructure, improving the quality of life for many Zimbabweans. The mining of chrome in Zimbabwe plays a vital role in the country's economy, with the exportation of this valuable mineral to buyers in South Africa driving significant growth and development. Despite the challenges faced by the industry, the benefits reaped far outweigh the obstacles encountered along the way. On the shipping side of things then, we are in discussions with a company based in Saudi Arabia who want to purchase a general cargo vessel. This vessel will be used to transport commodities throughout the Persian Gulf and surrounding regions. The company is relatively new, however, already has a strong reputation for expertise, reliability, and trustworthiness. This company has established itself as a key player in the business industry in the region. They have developed a strong understanding of the needs and requirements of its customers. The company's team of professionals, they're highly skilled and knowledgeable, ensuring that every project is completed to the highest standards and are equipped to handle a wide range of services efficiently and effectively. We are also in discussions with a leading cocoa trading company based in Ghana. Although this company is technically a startup, they have 22 years of experience and expertise in this industry. So this is a highly reputable cocoa trading company that has quickly established itself as a leader in the industry. With a focus on quality and fair trade practices, they have built a strong reputation among cocoa farmers and traders alike. They stand out from other cocoa traders companies in Ghana due to their unwavering commitment to quality. The company works closely with local farmers to ensure that only the best cocoa beans are selected for trading. This dedication to quality has earned them a loyal customer base and a reputation for excellence in the industry. One of the key reasons why they are a preferred choice for cocoa trading is their expertise in the field. The company's team of experts has an in-depth knowledge of the cocoa industry, allowing them to provide valuable insights and guidance to both farmers and traders. This expertise ensures that every transaction is handled with professionalism and efficiency. The deal that we're discussing with them involves the purchase of cocoa shells from a supplier in Ghana to then be sold to a buyer in China. The originator has 22 years of agribusiness experience locally and has exported cocoa shells to this same buyer since February of 2024. We did mention the mining industry in the briefing today, specifically in Zimbabwe. On speaking to this originator, we now understand that one of the key challenges faced by chrome miners in Zimbabwe is the lack of adequate infrastructure and investment in the mining sector. This has led to inefficiencies in the extraction and process of chrome ore, hindering the industry's growth potential. Credit wishes to provide the solution in this regard for this originator and to others. Despite these challenges, Zimbabwe remains a major exporter of chrome to buyers in South Africa, one of the leading producers of stainless steel in the world. The close proximity of the two countries has facilitated a robust trade relationship, with chrome from Zimbabwe playing a crucial role in South Africa's manufacturing industry. So thank you all for listening. I will now hand things over to Stephen.
Thanks for that, George. It's interesting to hear Deal Desk are involved in such a broad range of businesses from around the world. But for this month's Trade Desk presentation, we're going to discuss an originator closer to home operating in the food and beverage distribution sector. They began operations in 2002, opening a business in Northern Ireland, serving wholesalers and retailers, which has helped them establish a loyal customer base. During these initial years, they recognised commercial opportunities south of the border and decided to expand operations in 2011, opening a second entity in the Republic of Ireland. Both companies share the same ownership. However, as they operate in different jurisdictions, they are registered separately but benefit from shared knowledge and experience of their customers, which unfortunately have been directly affected by Brexit. As our client is known for employing a procurement strategy that focuses mainly on securing products from European suppliers like Polish-manufactured soft drinks, Serbian-source food items, they were keenly aware of the risks Brexit would have on their organisation. To address these concerns, they decided the company based in the Republic of Ireland would join Credet in 2017 with the aim of reducing the negative effects late settlement would have on their cash flow, as well as a way to mitigate against the adverse threats Brexit would have on cross-border trade. Luckily, their procurement model has proven successful, helping them secure products at competitive prices. However, they still encounter challenges which must be overcome if they are to remain profitable. These include navigating complex supply chains, managing inventory levels, and constantly monitoring stock movements throughout Ireland and the UK. The company is also known for offering favourable credit terms, a practice which has helped them strengthen customer loyalty. However, these extended payment terms have placed additional pressure on their working capital, hampering the company's ability to increase operations even further. To address these limitations, our client felt by utilising Credet's DGR debtor facility, they will be able to unlock liquidity which otherwise would have been held by their customers for an extended period of time. To date, the total trading volumes processed through their DGR debtor facility has reached 24 million, and in recognition of this strong performance, Credet decided to extend our revolving credit facility in 2020, enabling them to avail of our DGR creditor finance, allowing them to draw down an additional 1.6 million, further supporting the growth of their business. As stated previously, Credet requires all supplier invoices submitted on our trade floor to be addressed credit exchange care of our client's name. This is a critical requirement as it reflects our legal position as we must retain legal ownership of the goods until the trade has been settled. As our client has benefited greatly from our ETR finance model, they decided to open another client account in 2023, covering their Northern Ireland operations, and have since that date have traded an additional 1.2 million worth of DTR invoices. To recap our DTR trading finance, it involves the purchasing of client invoices using investable funds. Usually we provide clients with 80% of the invoice face value, with the remaining 20% less any fees held as a reserve balance and released upon settlement subject to our reserves and overdue policy. This enables Credet offer our originators liquidity, all while generating a modest profit, which in turn settles investor and intermediary commissions. We understand that some retail investors may have reservations about Credet's ETR facilities, and we take these concerns seriously. Our risk management team plays a proactive role, identifying risks and securing investable funds through several means. All debtor accounts must undergo a rigorous credit assessment using third-party rating agencies, determining appropriate credit limits. We also secure credit insurance for high-value debtor accounts, providing additional protection in the case of insolvency or non-payment, with Credet noted as loss payee. We also insist that proof of delivery be provided as part of our trading document policy. This usually comes in the form of a signed delivery docket confirming the quantities and description of the items which have been delivered. Each sales invoice submitted onto Credet's trade floor must be reviewed and authorised individually by a member of the trade desk before any funds are remitted to an originator's bank account. As outlined in previous briefings, it's important for us to emphasise Credet's core principles of funding Irish companies, enabling them to capitalise on opportunities with the help of investable funds. Hope you found this presentation informative. I will now pass you over to Maria, who's going to discuss Credet's recent trading performance over the last month.
Thanks, Stephen. It's always interesting to hear about the originator companies on the exchange and the various trades that we're working on. So as we've stated before, Credet will always try to stay informed on what's happening in the world when looking for any new business. Trades that are meaningful to us and have an impact in today's current affairs will always be available, as they are what the world and the market is focusing on. So moving to the Baltic Index, we saw that June started off at 1,429. The index increased throughout the month, reaching a high of 1,979. It slowly decreased in the latter half of the month before ending at a figure of 1,491. The Baltic Index was recorded at 1,995 as of today. As mentioned in other briefings, we promise to continuously keep an eye on the global economy and factor in geopolitical issues that can cause ongoing effects to the market. Moving to global news, the Eurozone economy grew by 0.1% in the second quarter of this year, according to preliminary figures released by Eurostat. This result is broadly positive, suggesting that the economy has so far weathered the effects of US President Trump's trade war. Spain continued to outperform, growing by 0.7%, making it the fastest growing economy across the entire European Union, while Germany and Italy, the bloc's two big manufacturing economies, performed less well, with GDP contracting by 0.1%. The S&P Global PMI Index rose to 51 in July from 50.6 in June. Output increased across both the manufacturing and services sectors, but in both cases, the expansion was only modest. Services nonetheless reported the strongest expansion since January. The Eurozone's economic performance is solid enough to likely dissuade the European Central Bank from lowering its key policy interest rate in September. Looking at the UK economy remained in a sluggish state at the end of the second quarter, according to early PMI survey data. UK PMI survey for July shows the economy struggling to expand into the second half of the year. Output growth weakened to 51 in July, down from 52 in June, with the PMI composite output index only modestly above the 50 no change mark. At this level, the PMI is broadly consistent with GDP growing at a mere 0.1% quarterly rate. As per the long-running GfK Consumer Confidence Index, British consumer confidence also weakened this month, as speculation grew that Rachel Reeves may announce further tax rises in the autumn budget. Moving to the US, we see that US GDP jumped 3% for the second quarter, better than the 2.3% Dow Jones estimate, and reversing a 0.5% decline from last quarter. Consumer spending also rose 1.4% this quarter, while exports declined 1.8% and imports fell 30.3%. The Federal Reserve's key inflation metric showed a gain of 2.1% for the quarter, just above the central bank's 2% inflation target. Despite President Trump's demands to lower interest rates, the Federal Reserve has held rates steady at an effective rate of 4.3% as expected, with Chair Jerome Powell showing no preference for cutting rates at the central bank's next meeting in September. Moving to the last section, I will discuss the briefing itself. You'll see from the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 50.25 million euro, with 69.65 million fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that the credit index is 68, with the trading figure for the month recorded at 5.79 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully utilized. Credit control collections this month amounted to 3.91 million euro, with the exchange's performance once again continuing to jump ahead of all prior years. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from EKFB, Atradius, and the HSE. At the top of the list, similar to last month's briefing, is construction debtor EKFB. Geogas trading is also back near the top, with Lancashire County Council and CCP Building Products moving higher, making another appearance. Our donut graphs show the wide variation of our investments, with the largest sections again in wholesale and retail, construction, manufacturing, and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and reoccurring ones as well as new debtors being added monthly. The performance in wholesale and retail was the highest this month, with Atradius representing this sector. Hospitality was our second largest in performance this month, followed by construction, which is represented by EKFB in our largest holdings for June. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed throughout credit. If we continue to look at the performance sector, we see that for month 6 of 2025, trading totaled 5.79 million euro, which is circa 42% lower than the 10.1 million euro recorded in month 6 of 2024. Volumes decreased for this month as the value to volume ratio increased again, in line with higher value and quality traded ETRs. Investor redemptions decreased to 0.41 million euro this month, with the credit index at 68 for June. Finally, the construction sector registered the largest trade in June at 0.35 million GBP. Our trend section shows the interest rate for the month running outside of the current demand, fixed and term rates. We can see from the briefing that the interest rate started at 2.119%. The rate increased at the start of month 6, reaching a high of 2.127%, before steadily decreasing throughout the month to end at 2.091%, with potential for July's rate to ease and remain steady. As you all know from previous months, our investable rates on offer for the three products currently stand at demand at 3.50%, fixed at 4.25% for 12 months, and term at 15% at the end of 36 months. This section shows the demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency. With the combination of the new rates and equitable ETFs, which has been a topic with many of you and Patrick, it's predicted this will continue to grow. And as before, the briefing document ends with the RSA figure of 50.25 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for June 2025. Thank you.